miss.
But yeah. Yes, and it is now 7 o'clock. Our time for the air is over. We're gonna click automation on, and who knows what song we'll play. We shall see. Thanks for listening. Please stay tuned for more fun radio shows. Thank you.
Medford, this is DJ Molly on Chatting with Molly. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. We have a lovely guest on here with us today. Guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Good morning, Medford.
What's your name?
My name is Moose, and I'm happy to be here on this wonderful Tuesday morning.
Amazing. Thanks for being here, Moose. I think this is really special because Moose was one of my very first guests. It was kind of a crazy move of me to bring on a guest on my first show. We almost didn't make it up the station, but we figured it out. And we had some technical difficulties for sure, but it was a good show, I'd say.
Yeah, and I'd say really an honor to be back and to see how things have hopefully gone uphill since then.
Progress? Well, I'll tell you, the show's basically the same. My dad will still probably call it. So, in Chatting with Molly fashion, we always start with the first question of, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Ooh, I had a big gulp of air. and a glass of water.
Nice. Sounds nutritious and delicious. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the problem with my 7 a.m. show. Nobody eats breakfast.
I
really need a new prompt. Okay, but what do you normally eat for breakfast? And yeah, we'll go from there.
Staple is my coffee on the go, and I've recently been turned on to oat milk, which is about the bougiest thing one could possibly say.
Yeah.
But it tastes so darn good.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I also have been getting into oat milk, but more for the environmental impact because it's great.
Yeah, me too.
But Wegmans, okay, the Oatly, really freaking expensive.
Yeah, do you like the full fat? Have you tried the Oatly? Because they have like full fat, half fat.
I haven't.
You should splurge for the holidays. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, for the holidays.
Just once.
But I've been getting the Wegmans oat milk, and it's not that bad.
Wegmans apparently has this setup where they do not sell their own brand of something unless in a blind taste test it outperforms other brands.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So they hold themselves to a really high standard. And I don't know that this is true at all. This has just been told to me and I blindly believed it. But it seems pretty cool.
Yeah.
Their stuff is like pretty good.
Yeah. I have great experience. I've had great experiences with Wegmans brand. Honestly, the best Wegmans product I think is their like spicy Thai peanut sauce. I have not been able to find any better spicy Thai peanut sauce.
And is that your benchmark? Like every new store you go to?
Yes.
Like head to the international aisle.
Exactly. No, Wegmans is great. But so you like oat milk because of the taste? It's like sweeter? Is that what you like?
Yeah, I don't know. It has kind of a nutty flavor that I like.
Odie one would even say.
Odie. Well, no, I think it's notably nutty.
Okay.
And I drink it in coffee. I don't drink it on the plane, so I don't actually really know what it tastes like.
Yeah.
By itself, but yeah. And then like a piece of toast with any sort of topping on it.
Okay.
Sometimes it's an egg. Okay. Sometimes it's cream cheese.
Okay. Peanut butter?
It is not yet been peanut butter, but okay. Could be.
Wow.
Probably won't be.
Yeah. Are you always a breakfast eater?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, I really, like, I go to bed looking forward to eating breakfast. So that's kind of a bummer. I didn't eat anything this morning. I was a little late. I jogged over.
Oh, nice.
But I'm looking forward to what I'm going to eat after this.
Amazing. And are you going to go home after this or go
straight? No, I'm going to go straight to work. I might stop at the, SEC Cafe.
Oh, nice. Throw it back to the roots.
Yeah, for those of you who are listening, I graduated 2 years ago, so it's kind of a shame to be going back to my college cafe. I wonder if the lady will still recognize me.
It's like the same ladies.
But you know what? They didn't recognize me when I went there every day for 2 years in college, so I think chances are slim.
Not.
One time she asked if I was a student so she could give me the student discount, and I was like, in the kindest way possible, excuse me, I come here every day.
Yeah.
And then after that she made a point to say hello to me because I kind of forced the interaction.
That's great. Yeah, I get the student question a fair amount because sometimes I don't pay with jumbo cash.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, do we charge you tax? And I also, I think, have gone there every single day.
Okay.
But
in the same boat.
I guess it's like, it's a pretty busy place, I would say. So we
give them the benefit of the doubt.
We can cut them some slack. So as Moose informed our listeners, she graduated 2 years ago, is now working, and you're like commuting to Michigan a lot, right?
Yeah. So I am an engineer, and our office is based in Boston, and I do a fair number of projects here, but we also do a lot of work at the University of Michigan. So I relive my student glory every Tuesday or every other Tuesday.
Dang.
And I do these day trips to Ann Arbor, which is pretty intense. Yeah. You take the 5:45 flight out and get the 5:45 flight back.
Oh, geez. Like AM and PM or 5:45 the next morning?
No, AM and PM.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's one like brutal 16-hour days, but then I don't have to go to work on Friday. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, it's fine.
Yeah. What do you do? Okay, so say you have, like, tough week, bop into Ann Arbor, you know, go blue, and then you're back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do on your Friday free?
Oh, yes, this past weekend, great example.
Okay.
I took Friday off. I slept in late to like 8:30.
Amazing. Living large.
Yeah, that's the worst part about being a working person. Well, or the best if you want to have long productive days. But my body clock has become very, very early to rise.
Yeah.
Went to the gym. Got my parking permit renewed. This is
amazing.
So sad. The story of my day off.
True adulthood.
Yeah. And then I was going to go outside, but it started raining.
Yeah,
so.
It was really gross last week.
Yeah, you know what I did this weekend?
What?
I went to the Patriots game.
In the pouring rain?
In the pouring rain.
Wow.
Yeah, and we were out there for like 8 hours because...
Tailgating. Oh my God.
And it was quite a scene and like got all the... We had a tent with...
Which was great because
the rain was pretty brutal, but the wind just like took this thing. It kind of turned into a sail, so it was just like we had to hold down the tent the whole time. Like my arms were hurting because we were standing with our hands above our head for 4 hours.
That's horrible. Oh my God.
It was fun, you know, for what it was. It was totally voluntary that we were out there, which is why we really can't complain.
Right.
And let it be known that I saw 2 people in flip-flops.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. And it must have been, like, 35 degrees.
Yeah, it was just cold and rainy and miserable.
Yeah.
But they won, so.
Dang.
Go Pats.
Go Pats. Wow, that's fun. Is that your first Pats game?
That is my second Pats game.
Okay. Was the first one more enjoyable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I try to limit it to... once a year, twice in my lifetime.
Well, there you go. Sounds like we hit the cap. I have only been to that stadium once, but not for a Pats game. Went to go see Beyonce there.
Oh, my gosh.
That was sick.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. It was like the summer I was here, and I had this... I forget if I told you this, but for the listeners, it was like July, and I had this horrible stress dream that Beyonce was... going off tour, like not touring for the rest of her life. And I was like, I will have never seen Beyonce. So I just woke up one day and like Googled Beyonce tour dates. And it was like, Boston, August, like tickets under $100. And I was like, oh my God, I'm just gonna buy these. And I just bought one for myself, just sent it right away. And then I texted Claire and I was like, do you wanna come to Beyonce with me? And she was like, well, I have a friend in town, but let me ask. And so she and her friend came.
Okay.
And we got tickets all together. So it really worked
out.
But I really
just... Would you have gone by yourself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn it. It's Beyonce, Moose. And I love being by myself.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
It's
gonna be so fun.
That's so true.
Yeah, it was definitely more fun with Claire and her friend Lola. But, yeah, so that's my experience in Foxborough, Mass.
Yeah, I think I don't want to bash.
It's okay,
the
go
weekend
ahead.
I had, but that sounds pretty sweet. I think that would be an ideal trip to Foxborough.
Yeah. But I was just thinking about, like, your Friday day off. It's tough because none of your friends have Fridays off.
That's true. I think I wanted to treat it like a weekend day, so I didn't whittle away. Oh, I had breakfast with JoJo.
Oh, amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then I went to karaoke that night. So
nice.
Yeah, it was
cool.
Felt like a weekend day.
Yeah.
But it was also kind of good because I could just get all my Saturday boring tasks out of the way.
Very true.
Though I will say it was a little bit stressful all day because, like, technically anyone could call me for work things.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
And so, like, at the gym, I had to take, like, 3 different work calls.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was no, like, day drinking opportunity.
There was no day drinking opportunity. Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah. I didn't go to work except for those 15 minutes.
I guess. That's great.
Yeah.
Dang. Well, I have... My dad would... Okay. I'm not announcing this because my dad, but I would have an announcement. Yesterday, my sister-in-law, Alana Lippman, gave birth to a little baby boy.
That's so exciting.
We will refer to him as Junior for now until next Tuesday when he has a name.
Is that like a ceremony?
Yeah, so it's for a boy. You have a bris 7 days after where you have a circumcision, but it's more just like it's like the unveiling of the baby. And so you save the name until that. And so I'm kind of lucky that she gave birth yesterday, because now the bris is on Monday and I have Southwest tickets, and I was planning on coming back Sunday, and I'll just stay an extra day and I can be there for it.
Nice.
Which is great. But yeah, those are, and so usually we go to Thanksgiving, or go to, usually we go to DC for Thanksgiving, but because of this whole baby thing, we are convening in Chicago. But I'm pretty excited. I'm gonna like meet this little guy and just baby time all the time. What are you up to for Thanksgiving?
I'm heading home to New York City, and it'll be pretty mellow. Just
cool.
Yeah, just my parents and my sister and I.
Yeah.
Every year the New York Times publishes like a Thanksgiving spread.
Mm-hmm.
They got all the dishes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it ranges every year on how traditional they are, and sometimes they're a little more new agey takes.
Yeah.
And so for the last couple years, we have just verbatim made every dish that it tells us to.
Oh my gosh.
And so it's kind of nice because it eliminates stress of choice.
Yeah.
Like we're making those maple chipotle sweet potatoes, whether we think it sounds good or not.
Right.
So it's kind of a fun activity.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, so.
Do you start on Wednesday or you just do Thursday?
Well, my parents do a lot of the cooking on Wednesday, and then I come in last minute on my high horse and put some seasoning on the turkey and say, I did it.
I was talking about like cooking traditions with Claire yesterday, and both our families, like, kids have been like helping cooking like throughout our whole childhood, but she's going to Ollie's Thanksgiving this year.
Ooh.
And the kids don't really cook. They just kind of like chill. Like, it's kind of a big affair.
Uh-huh.
So there's like a lot of people there, so it's just whatever. So we got into like cooking traditions, and I shared a story that I'd like to share on air today.
Yeah.
When my brother Joshua, now a father, was 12 years old, I believe, 12, maybe like 14, he asked to be turkey captain, and we granted him that captainship.
Wow.
Yeah.
One way to learn, huh?
Exactly. And he looked up this recipe. I think there was the internet back then. I don't know. Kidding. And he found this t-shirt turkey recipe where you like wrap the turkey in a t-shirt, but the t-shirt's like soaked in vinegar, so it's like brining. And it's like this whole thing. Long story short, the t-shirt caught on fire. And so he was stripped of his captainship after
and
that.
Did you eat?
No, we made like a backup chicken or something. I don't think it was edible. Maybe we could like carve off the burnt shards, but I don't know. I was pretty young, so I really am just telling this story from like almost secondhand retellings of subsequent years, because I was probably like 5.
Right.
But yeah, it was, and there's like a picture of him and his like t-shirt turkey before it goes in the oven, and it just looks ridiculous.
Yeah, but props to your parents for, one, letting him take the lead. A lot of lessons to be learned in a short amount of time, and
very
two,
true.
Having a backup plan.
Very true.
Which I think they must have kind of known going into it.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Oh, I have another piece of news. I got a job.
Molly.
Yeah.
Wow, congrats.
Thank you. And an even more, and then a kind of exciting piece of that is it's not in Boston, but I will be moving to Boulder, Colorado.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Molly.
Pretty, yeah.
Oh, that's bittersweet.
Yeah. It's like when I first got the offer with the Boulder office, it kind of, like this whole process, I was like, I'd go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, Boulder's cool, whatever. And then I saw it and I was like, oh my God, I am like moving to Boulder, where I know the only people I know are Nancy Kissinger's family. She doesn't even live there anymore. And so it's going to be really wild, I think.
Yeah.
But
what's the gig?
You know, it's with a company called Navigant. It is energy consulting. And so I'm on a team called Clean Energy Programs, where we look at the feasibility and like how well these programs are working that utility companies are putting in place.
Mm-hmm.
So utility companies have like this huge incentive to get people to use less power, which seems weird because it's like their product. Why would they they right. want people to use less. But they get big cash incentives from the government. So they're always trying to, like, you know, reimburse people for buying a more efficient washing machine or doing stuff like that. And we'll do, like, energy calculations for them.
Interesting.
Like that. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know. The real answer is, like, you never really know what you actually do until you get there.
Oh, yeah.
So I can, like, read the blurb from the website all I want, but
honestly, like, that is the most concise answer you will give to people who ask you what your job is,
mm-hmm.
like, including for when you are actually working at your job.
Yeah.
Like, I think I could
the
give
one
a,
you come up with before?
Yeah, or, I could give a better picture of my job that I've been working at for 2 years mm-hmm. when I, like, was reading the website.
Right.
And now that I do it, I'm like, oh, you wouldn't understand.
I don't know. I go to Michigan sometimes.
Go blue.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, so that's cool.
You're just going to move out there.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't have a start date yet.
Okay.
And I was like, put on all of my forms that they always ask start date. And I was like, September 15th. Yes.
Yeah, girl, you got
and,
it.
And then the HR guy was like, well, our start dates range from June to July to August. And I was like,
okay, August.
How's September? Right. And so if I get August, very happy with that. Yep. But the HR guy was like, sometimes teams will have a special need in August. And I was like, well, hopefully they do not, because they do not want to start in August. But
yeah.
I'm sure, but he said, like, I think it's more likely that it's July or August.
I started mid-August, and I felt like I had the whole summer off.
Nice. Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah.
That is very exciting.
Yeah, so I don't know. I had, like, a long phone call with Nancy's mom about Boulder
mm-hmm.
and about, because she, like, worked at this publishing company with a bunch of young people. And so she, like, was always hearing about, like, who they were living with and, like, if they were having a good time or whatever. And so I think it's going to be okay.
What'd you learn?
I learned that, well, I kind of knew this before, but UC Boulder is there.
Yes.
And I was thinking, well, the college scene isn't, like, exactly what I'm looking for, but with such a big university, there's, like, grad students who also will, like, be needing housing, and I would definitely have, like, a more aligned lifestyle with. And then also, I got kind of freaked out because it's, like, college town, 100,000, and that sounded really similar to Iowa City. And I was like, oh, it'd be so hard to meet people, like, in this small town. But I think it's actually very different from Iowa City and, like, much cooler, and people flock there for different reasons. So
yeah,
I think it'd be cool.
And you're pretty close to Denver.
Yeah, like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know a lot of young people that aren't in college that live in Boulder.
Really? Oh my gosh, that's great.
Yeah, maybe I'll introduce you to some of them.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Or just let me know how they like it, and then I'll have more information. Yeah. Dang. So, as a working person, mm-hmm. do you, like, form your own winter break with vacation time, or you just, like, work, and then use it sparingly?
I have kind of decided to work, and use it sparingly.
Okay.
We have a pretty sweet setup where in a 2 week period, we have to work 80 hours, but it kind of doesn't
okay.
matter how we load it.
Interesting.
So I, like, build in a fair amount of time off.
Nice.
That I don't take vacation days.
That's great.
But I'll probably take a couple days off around Christmas. There's an office in New York.
Right.
So last year I worked
okay.
between Christmas and New Year from there.
Oh, that's nice that you can just kind of be with your fam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, last year I took a couple of big vacations just in, like, February, and
that's
I
fun.
Went to Hawaii.
Right, for the Frisbee thing.
Yeah, but and then we took, like, a week
right.
before
that's
to
amazing.
Do some traveling. So it was more like Christmas was kind of like, I'm going to go home and see my parents anyway, but might as well save it all
right.
up for a time when I really should be at work.
Right.
And I'm going to be, you know, traveling instead.
That sounds like a good strategy, honestly.
Yeah. It's honestly not too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know one person that, like, takes her entire vacation in the month of December.
Oh, wow.
But that seems like then the rest of the year.
It's horrible.
I gotta work every day.
That's pretty brutal. Yeah. Do you guys get a lot of like built-in holidays?
We get nine. Like, okay. There are nine federal holidays.
Got it. Yeah.
So we get those ones.
Man, I have to start like thinking about what that means now. Like, that means that, like, oh,
the nine federal holidays.
Sounds good, man. Like, super great. Nine. I have not, like, is that average?
I think that that's pretty average.
Okay.
That's yeah. Great. Yeah, there's some that we don't get that others get.
Nice.
When I, growing up in New York City, mm-hmm. we would get a ton of holidays for different religions on.
Yeah, like Jewish holidays.
The Jewish holidays, and we would get the Muslim holidays and the Christian holidays.
Oh my God.
So we didn't go to school in October.
Yeah, I bet not.
Yeah, we like didn't Jeez. Have a full week until like midway through November.
Oh my gosh. That's so lucky. Because like naturally, that's like convenient for all those religions, but then everyone else gets the other 2/3 of the holidays just as like mm-hmm. hangout time.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a great system. Everyone should do that.
Yes. Go New York.
Yeah, go New York. And this was like public school.
This was public school.
Wow. That's so nice.
Yeah.
Well. Okay. I'm gonna play some music. But oh gosh, the aux cord is missing. Yeah, let's do this one. Okay, so we have a special song. It is called Jolene, and it is by Dolly Parton. This was on request by a special listener, my father. And also, I hear that another listener of ours also likes it. So, without further ado, here is Jolene by Dolly Parton.
Of auburn hair with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. Easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you. Choice of men, but I could never love again. He's the only one for me, Jolene. I had to have this talk with you. My happiness depends on you and whatever you decide to do, Jolene.
Right, that was our good friend Dolly Parton. I've been listening to her 9 to 5 like in the mornings a lot, because whenever I hear it, I just think of it as kind of the background to like a montage of someone waking up and brushing their teeth. Mm-hmm. And so I'll like put on my headphones and do that, and I'll be like, I need to go brush my teeth now.
Are you familiar with TikTok
by Kesha?
No. See, this is a generational thing here.
Yes.
Apparently, and we get to be the older generation now as we say that. But the...
Yeah, that's similar to Vine.
It's similar to Vine,
yes,
exactly.
I am familiar with TikTok.
I think that the 9 to 5 morning montage is like a TikTok
really
thing. You should check
amazing
them out. Maybe make your own.
Oh wow, that would go super well.
Wait. You get tons of hits, at least more than 12 maybe.
Oh, let's see our listener base if we dropped or added any. We're down to 11. Okay. I guess someone didn't like Jolene very much.
Yeah, we'll call it Jolene.
Exactly. No, so I led a wilderness trip this past August and have this like group of freshmen that I'm still like pretty close with. We get dinner every Thursday, and they have really informed me about all the crazes. So like TikTok, I know all the terms now, like Visco girl and e-girl and
e-girl,
all these things. Yeah, there's like, okay, the kind of like character that we would associate with like Avril Lavigne or like emo. Yeah. But it's like, it's more, it's like Billie Eilish is like e-girl.
Okay.
And so I learned about that, and they like all have TikTok. So I'm up on it.
Okay.
You know,
You're
keeping it fresh. They just call me so old though. They like, well, first of all, my co is a junior, and so he already has a leg up on the youth for me. And they know I took a gap year, so I'm like straight up 4 and sometimes 4.5 years older than a lot
you
of them.
You told them too much.
I know. It's a point of no return. And so, like, they dressed up as e-girls for Halloween, and I was like, they're like, guess what we are? And I was like, Avril Lavigne? And they're like, who is that? And I was like, she is like a major pop star, okay? Don't give me that.
And I think she was a pop star for a long time.
Yeah.
Like they were still...
Yeah.
They were around when Boyfriend came out.
Hey, Hey, You, You. Yeah.
Hey, Hey, You, You. Yeah.
It. We should play that song. But, yeah, I don't know. They're silly, though. I'm like definitely... enjoying like hearing all of their antics as freshmen. Also, I realized like freshmen just stay up so late. Like, I think freshmen just, I truly am characterizing 1500 people when I say this, but they just like don't really know how to study yet, and so they'll just like be in their dorms with their friends and then just like start studying at like 2 a.m. or something. I've heard this anecdote from so many of them.
I kind
which
of
seems crazy.
Remember staying up late, but I don't even think it was under the guise of studying. I think I just didn't have anyone to tell me to go to bed, and I didn't know how to tell myself how to do that.
Yeah, that's true. And you're like asserting your own freedom.
But that's why freshmen get sick all the time.
Yeah.
I really think I got sick more freshman year.
Because of the sleep thing?
Just all of it.
Yeah,
you're like eating weird stuff. Yeah. You don't know how to like not eat only like a bowl of salad and then 4 waffles.
Right. Like, and then like cereal every meal for dessert.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. I also think it's like you're living with so many people that just bring... They all bring their own germs to the table, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they all contribute in their own little germy way.
It's a really inclusive environment, honestly.
It really is. It's, yeah. So, I didn't get, like, I got, like, normal freshman sickness, but I never got, like, neurovirus or anything horrible. Did you contract the plague
I
your
did
freshman
not,
year?
But I was living in a dorm room my sophomore year very closely with two people who both
Ham and
Alex.
Wait, you guys are in a triple together?
No, we were in like a suite.
Okay.
It was a 10-person suite, but the three of us had like, you know, 2 rooms
next
to each other, and we spent a lot of time together.
Yeah.
And they both got it.
Oh my God.
And I didn't use the bathrooms in the dorm for like a month.
What?
Like, I decided that it would be more sanitary for me to use the bathrooms in DeWick.
Like, then, to brush your teeth?
No. We had, like, the toilet in a room and then the sinks.
Oh, the counter and stuff. Yeah.
So I would kind of, like, keep my toothbrush in my room.
Got it.
In a little container.
Yeah.
But it sounded brutal. And yeah. I do wonder if the fear of getting neuro for 3 months was cumulatively worse than the 24 hours of having it.
Yeah.
And I think Ham would say it probably wasn't because it sounded really awful.
Yeah. I mean, you changed your lifestyle, Miss. So that is like a big sacrifice.
They say it takes 2 weeks to make a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And I still keep my toothbrush in a little container in my room. That's not true at all. But I still go to the bathroom in DeWick every morning.
Every morning. Wait, but you still have to like shower in the bathroom.
I can't remember what I did.
Yeah, maybe you just showered in the sinks of DeWick.
It was about the toilet. It wasn't about the shower or the bathroom.
Because people like throw up. Neurovirus is like throwing up or like all of the above.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to...
Okay, to box
make
it in.
Our listeners think about this.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you didn't get it.
I didn't get
it. It pays off. That hard work of changing your lifestyle truly paid off.
Yeah.
All right. So we talked about Avril Lavigne. So now we're gonna play a little Avril Lavigne. Again, for the listeners, I have had some Spotify trouble, and so. Sometimes YouTube videos have like weird intros with like, you know, acting out a scene,
like a music video.
And so we're just going to see if this one has it. And if it does, we'll just listen to the little scene that they're acting out. So here is Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne.
Get together now.
right, that was Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne. And we're back. It is 7:40. I'm going to read a public service announcement, which is always the best part of the hour. And so there are two options for public service announcements. I could pick some, like, sound bite to play. Or I could just open this handy-dandy book up and read one from the 90s. So, here's one. Numbers to think about. Worldwide cost of American healthcare. The annual worldwide economy is about $70 trillion. The U.S. gross domestic product is the largest of any single country at $15 trillion, followed by China's $7 trillion GDP. With the United States comprising slightly less than 5% of the world's population and 5% of Americans accounting for half of the $2.5 trillion annually spent on U.S. healthcare, that means almost 2% of the world's economy is devoted to just the medical costs of 0.25%. That's 0.25% of the planet's population. Numbers to think about from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Okay, that was kind of a more boring one.
What are those from?
Dude, I have no idea.
How much did it say for the U.S. GDP?
70 trillion. Oh, no. U.S. is 15 trillion.
So I've looked it up.
Okay.
And in 2017, it was almost 20 trillion.
Dang.
So
this does, okay, it says source, International Monetary Fund, 2011.
Okay.
So it's actually more recent than I would have guessed. Wow, thanks to our live fact checkers on board.
I wonder if there's anything just like truly, truly outdated.
Yeah, I bet. There's some weird ones. There's like, watch out for ladders. You could fall, and then you'll go to the hospital. This is a message from Tufts Education.
And we're trying to save money on our healthcare system.
Exactly. They all tie together eventually.
Yeah, it's kind of a long story if you just read them.
Yeah.
One after the other.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, wait. There's this automated PSA called alcohol or marijuana, and I'm really curious on what it says. So we're going to listen to it. A little bonus one. Okay, here we go.
Pop quiz, which is more dangerous, alcohol or marijuana? Study after study, the science shows that alcohol causes much more harm to the user and to society than marijuana. So why do colleges punish students more harshly for getting caught with cannabis? Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy and give your college administrators a simple pharmacology 101 lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out if there's a chapter at your school or how to start one.
Wow. So that wasn't anti-alcohol. That was pro
marijuana. It was just pro marijuana. And I mean, it was anti in the sense that it was like alcohol can be more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems like not super a reputable, like if I was in administration and it was like Students for Sensible Drug Policy, I'd be like, you guys just want to smoke weed.
Right.
But I guess there is, like, a lot of truth behind that, I guess.
But they managed to get it as an automated PSA on the radio station.
Very true.
That seems like a win that they probably celebrated when when they got that news.
Yeah, so go SSDP. Good for you guys. Yeah. I think it's interesting. I wonder if, like, because you're not technically, like, allowed to talk about certain things on the radio, like drug and alcohol usage in heavy amounts. I know we've really briefly gone over that today, but I wonder if, like, because it's legal in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. whether it's fine to talk about, but, like, on a radio in Arkansas, whether it would not be allowed.
So those are radio rules from the radio.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's, like, it might be, like, the FCC, where that's just, like, a federal standard, and so it would be the same everywhere. I don't really know radio rules.
But your listeners really could be from anywhere. Well,
that's true.
If they're on the internet, I suppose. Maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah, so radio waves, I feel like, are where the rules really come in. But I don't know, because you can talk about anything on a podcast, I guess. And people do.
That's true.
They certainly do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's more of a voluntary listening.
Yeah. True, because I guess, like, if you have kids in the car and you're, like, flipping through stations, you don't want, like, absurd things being said.
Yeah. I guess. Then you hear that PSA come up.
Yeah. You're like, plug your ears, kids. So are you a big podcast listener?
I listen to podcasts as they are recommended to me.
Okay. What bar do you, like, if anyone just tells you a podcast, will you listen? Or do you need, like, three recs before you're diving in?
It is absolutely dependent on who that person is.
Okay. Jeez, yeah.
And how well they sell it to
okay.
me.
Yeah.
But I will say that it does lead to a variety of podcast listening.
Yeah, I bet.
And I have recently been listening to a series or a podcast called Laughter Permitted with Julie Foudy.
Okay.
Who used to play on the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, like, in the 90s.
Okay.
And now she is, like, a commentator. But the series was with a number of the current U.S. Women's National Team athletes. And they were kind of on in pairs or single.
Wow.
And so it was really sweet. It was after the World Cup, so it was just a lot of their takes.
Yeah, wow.
On the World Cup.
Wait, Laughter Permitted. I thought that was going to be, like, a comedy. Like, where does that name come from?
Unclear.
Okay.
She is, like, Julie Foudy is kind of, like, a dork.
Okay.
And so she's, like, such a parent, you know, in the way that she jokes around.
Yeah.
And, like, just says, like, the, I mean, no offense to any parents listening.
Realizes entire listener base is probably parents.
No, it's awesome, but she laughs a lot on
the
show.
Okay.
And she tries, I mean, she talks about a lot of, like, serious sides of sports with her guests, but she jokes around a ton.
Yeah.
So maybe it's, like, loosening up on talking about sports. And she asks some hard-hitting questions about, like, hard-hitting, but for the athletes about, like, how they felt about their playtime or all these things that can be kind of hard to talk about as an athlete. So,
yeah.
But she jokes around a ton. So maybe it's, like,
yeah. Do you feel like the players feel more comfortable because it's, like, someone kind of from the inside and not just, like, some random broadcaster?
Definitely. And I think especially after they won, having somebody that was on the team when they had won, like, in the 90s. And I think that they definitely felt familial talking with her. So.
Yeah. Wow. That's really, like, impressive of her to, I don't know, I think it's hard for as an athlete to, like, transition your role in the sport from, like, athlete, and then you just kind of have to, like, be on the sideline and talking to other people. But I'm sure that keeps it really interesting.
Yes, and I think a fair number of them do go into, like, commentating.
Yeah. You've always been, like, a U.S. soccer fan, I feel like.
Definitely.
Maybe not always, but, like, definitely recently.
I went to my first game in Chicago.
Nice. What's the team called? Like, what's the women's team in Chicago called?
It was a women's national team.
Oh,
it was, like, one of their victory tour
got
games.
It, got
but the
it,
Red
got
Stars
it.
Are the Chicago team.
Okay, the Red
team.
Stars. Nice.
And it was very exciting, though they played pretty poorly. But
Shoot.
It was still, it was all about being there.
Wait, who'd they play? Did they play against the Red Stars?
No, they were playing, like, Costa Rica or something.
Oh,
I can't quite
okay.
remember.
But they won, I assume.
No.
They didn't.
It was their last victory tour game. it was a draw.
Okay.
And they lost.
Yeah.
It was a little lackluster.
Yeah. That's okay.
But following the World Cup this summer was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a little bit sad. So I was at camp, which is just like a black hole of it's just so hard to follow anything at camp because you don't have, like, normal time to yourself. But we did play the finals, like, on the screen, like, during lunch or something.
Yeah.
And it was, like, after it was live. And so everyone's like, don't tell me what happens. Like, I did not, like, Google it at all, and I just, like, watched it, like, 5 hours after it happened. But it was so exciting.
And did you genuinely have that feeling of, like, anything could happen?
For sure.
Game?
That's
awesome.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. That was such an exciting game.
Yeah. And it was cool. Like, a lot of the campers, like, had packed their like U.S. national little jersey, and they like wore it to lunch that day, and there were like some pretty big fans, and yeah, it was pretty fun. I definitely would have liked to follow it more, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, the Olympics coming up this
Yeah. Wow, where are they?
They're in Tokyo.
Oh my gosh.
And
that's fun.
On the women's soccer side, which is really a very small part of the Olympics, yeah. But no team has won the World Cup and then the next year won the Olympics.
Really?
It's pretty crazy.
And oh my gosh.
In 2015, the U.S. won the World Cup, and in 2016, they were eliminated in the quarterfinals of the Olympics.
Oh my god.
Which was their biggest, earliest tournament loss.
Yeah.
So that was pretty shocking. So this is like a pretty big year.
Yeah.
And they have a new coach, so they will have... They'll be under different coaching staff for the World Cup and for the Olympics.
That does not bode well, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll see.
Dang, that's scary.
So, I think that'll be...
I'm sure it's, like, generally the same team.
I think it'll be a lot of the same roster. There's certainly some question marks. The Olympic roster is 5 players fewer than the World Cup roster. So, they're going to be... cuts without even bringing anybody else in, and if they want to bring somebody else in,
right, more cuts.
And 4 years ago there was a number of retirements between the World Cup and the Olympics, so that kind of opened up roster space.
Well, that's probably why they lost,
maybe. Unclear.
Yeah,
but there have been no retirements, so there's really just gonna be people that
got it
make their roster cut. Be a World Cup champion.
Yeah. I wonder if, like, in your sport, you care more about your sport's glory or the international stage glory.
I think the World Cup.
Yeah. I would think so, too. It's just, like, probably taken more seriously.
Also, different, like, regional areas, so not quite continents, but, like, parts. Like, the U.S. has to play for one of 2 bids that is between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Or maybe it's more and it includes other countries.
Okay.
And Europe is, I think, broken into a couple sections.
Okay.
But
for the Olympics or World Cup?
For the Olympics.
Okay.
And there is some rule that shakes out that in Europe, like, only the top 3 teams that finish in the World Cup will make it to the Olympics. But it means there were some losses in the World Cup that were pretty shocking from like world class teams.
Yeah.
So some of the best teams in Europe won't be at the Olympics. Like, I think Germany and France, which have been which have been like perennial like contenders.
Yeah.
I think maybe Germany won 4 years ago. I don't know if that's true. Maybe you need to fact check that. But they won't be there. So I think that there might be, in some ways there's potentially less competition because it's like these powerhouses aren't going, but they also didn't win 4 years ago. So.
Wow. I wonder what, like, it seems silly to me that the World Cup and the Olympics have like qualifying games for each other. Like, it seems like they should just be on different systems.
I agree. And it also is different in all those different regions.
So right.
Maybe that's just how they decided to do it. They're like, this is, you know.
Yeah.
And the U.S., in our region, we play through a qualifying tournament.
Yeah. Huh.
That's in January.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of big sports moments, you won nationals this year on Brute Squad.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Yes.
So, yeah, for listeners, Brute Squad is the women's club, one of the women's club teams in Boston.
Ultimate Frisbee.
Yes, of Ultimate Frisbee. And Moose plays on that team, and they won the whole dang thing this year. If you could just, like, describe, I don't know, like, your mindset going in and, like, the tournament.
So, we had a pretty up-and-down season.
Okay.
In a way that last year...
Right, at regionals.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Last year, for context, we won every game in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And then we won all the way up until the finals at nationals, and then we lost by 1 point to San Francisco. And, I mean, it's hard to call that not a success. And we had the disc on our end zone line.
Right.
And couldn't put it in.
Yeah.
And San Francisco is a really great team.
Yeah.
But this season, we had a pretty similar roster. Obviously, you know, JoJo got injured, and that was a pretty big hit. And we had some turnover, but largely the same roster. And things were not quite coming together the way they had last year. Yeah. I think it was maybe, like, personnel in different positions on the field, but also just, I don't know, things just weren't clicking the way they had been. And so we lost at... We had a pretty bad midseason tournament where we, like, lost in the quarterfinals, which is no shame. You know, we were playing some really good teams.
Yeah.
We played Riot, and they were really good, and we just weren't really in our best form.
Yeah.
And then regionals, we hadn't not won regionals for, like, 11 years or something, and we lost to Toronto. But that is... That's not just because we were playing poorly. Toronto played really well.
Yeah.
And they're a good team.
Yeah.
But so going into Nationals, we were coming from a different season than we had been last year. But we had, like, a month between Regionals and Nationals. And those practices were some of the best practices I've ever been at for any team I've ever played on.
Wow.
So, like...
Intensity level or, like, quality of play level?
Both.
Okay.
We had some, like... punishment things.
Okay.
So, like, if we were playing in a point and there was more than one turnover, everyone had to drop and do 10 burpees.
Both teams.
And then keep playing. The team that had turned it over.
Okay.
And then, like, a lot of sprints. Like, if we play in pretty strict O-line, D-line, if the D-line didn't get a break, we would have to run 40s. Just things to really emphasize, like, you need to prioritize getting a block more than anything else right now. Or for offense, like, you need to prioritize not turn it over more than anything else.
Right.
And if you do, then we are going to physically feel the wrath.
Right.
Which is a pretty, like, I mean, that sort of punishment.
Right. Incentive program.
Is, I don't know if that is really what was helpful, but it was, like, the intensity of those practices. And it was just like, okay, we all want to be here and we all want to win.
Yeah.
And, like, we need to play harder than we have been.
Yeah.
But we just had some awesome practices, and it just felt like the D was playing at a higher level than we had been, getting more blocks. The O-line was, like, really solid on the disc.
Yeah.
And it felt like every scrimmage, like, the defense would take away 95% of the field, and then the offense would find the small window.
Yeah.
So it was like, it's what
That's
you
amazing.
Want.
Yeah.
And so I knew that we had had those practices.
Yeah.
So going into Nationals, I was like, other teams should be scared of us.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, I retroactively read some of the articles, the previews before Nationals, and I hadn't read them.
Right.
People were out on Brute Squad, which I now think
That's
is
sick.
So foolish. But I don't know. I think we just have an amazing team full of, like, very competitive people.
Yeah.
Who had kind of had a kick in the butt. And we were just like, we're not going to roll over.
Yeah.
Like, we know that we should win.
Yeah.
And so we, I don't know, those practices were just next level. And so going into those, kind of with those in our back pocket, I was like, you know, teams should be scared of us.
And you had something to prove in your pool, because, like, you had the Sixers in your pool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so it wasn't obvious you were going to win. And then, the semifinal game against San Fran was, like, amazing.
Yeah. So and it then, was, it was a great kind of arc, peaking at the right time, but I think just proving to ourselves that we could be that best version of us that we hadn't yet been was exciting. And I think in college, it's more obvious that you have to go to practice and work hard if you're going to win games, in a way that sometimes in club is not super obvious if you are a team that has, like, a ton of really talented players.
Right.
And so it was almost like it took me back to college a little bit, where it was like, okay, we still have to go to practice and work hard. It's not enough to have, like, seemingly the best talent. Like, we still need to work harder.
Yeah, that's interesting. And which is great, because every team does need that.
So, it was great. Wow. And now we can be champions.
Heck yeah, sit on your laurels. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm, like, so happy for you guys. And I think, just, like, super deserved hard work, so... good for you guys.
Thank you.
It's amazing. Okay, it is 7:59 a.m. This is Molly and Moose. You're listening to Chatting with Molly, 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And we will listen to a little Beatles, Obladi Oblada, on the way out. All right, everyone. Happy Tuesday.